Good morning. Good morning. It's now my pleasure to announce that Tom Hodgson, my co-host, partner in crime or partner in law enforcement, I guess, is here in the studio. And we're going to have a great hour. If you want to reach Tom, you can. It's 508-996-05. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Good, Chris. Thanks for having me. Beautiful day out there.
It is beautiful out,
yeah,
right?
It really is.
Tom, you came in with a paper copy of the Herald, and I appreciate that. Our friend Tim Dunn has an article here. Headlines: Cook's criminal history is known. Of course, Cook being LeVar Cook, the Democrat state employee out in Springfield, Mass, appointed by the governor to be her representative in what's called the Western Statehouse, Little Statehouse out in Springfield. He was arrested, still innocent, but arrested for bringing pounds and pounds of cocaine into the statehouse in Springfield. Turns out his criminal history was known.
Yeah, he had obviously gun violation in 2001.
Yeah.
And involved a shooting, I think, at some targets on a porch somewhere. I'm not sure if anybody got hit, but that's not the point. He's been in possession of firearm, but I believe even in this cocaine case.
He had another gun, too.
And look, I think we'd all agree, Chris, that when someone makes a mistake in life, we hope they rehabilitate themselves. And that's what everyone hopes for. They can get on better track and learn from it. The problem is, when you get to this level of government and this type of a crime, and you say, we're going to overlook that and allow you to come on board. Listen, we wouldn't allow people to get hired at the sheriff's office for minor infractions on their, and I get it. That's a law enforcement thing. But this is a position of public trust in the governor's office, and for the governor. And it doesn't surprise me about Mara Healey. Look, Mara Healey has always been about her woke ideology. It's the law that's not right. I remember her being on the other side of the border saying that people should be allowed to come in this country illegally.
Right.
When she was in Mexico. And that was when she was attorney general. So with that kind of an attitude as an attorney general, you can imagine this isn't surprising that she would do this and completely ignore it to support what is really, and Chris, we know, and this will all come out later on, but the whole situation with her shutting down our ICE operation.
Right.
Politically motivated, and it wasn't about what was right. It was about what was politically advantageous for her, so she thought, her and Mayorkas. But that also is going to come out and reveal that, in fact, what she did was an intentional misrepresentation of the truth, hid it. The truth from the fact, just like in this case that we're talking about right now. So this is an unfortunate situation, obviously.
And preventable, though.
Of course.
In other words, guys, we're paying for background checks. And then they get the background check. It says the guy's a violent criminal, and they broom it. They don't care. They hire him anyway, putting him in a major position of responsibility. Tom, you did background checks on everybody you hired at the sheriff's office.
Correct.
People you want to hire sometimes come up with a background check that you didn't know about, and you have to make a decision. You've faced that. You can't hire people.
Of course. Of course. And look, that's, you know, there are, unfortunately, consequences when you make, depending how serious the offense is, that it's going to limit you in the future as to where you can get hired. Certainly at this level in the state government, that when you have that kind of a knowledge and you put somebody in that kind of a position, you know, that I think is not only irresponsible, but I think it was done, in my view, by ignoring what ultimately is your responsibility as the governor, to make sure that there's a standard within the operation. You have to have certain standards for the quality. And what does it say now to the people who were working there? And I'm sure there's some people that probably maybe knew him, got to know him when he was working there, I'm guessing. and probably maybe had some hints about his background. And then what does that tell them? It doesn't really matter, you know.
But it was on a piece of paper. In other words, it's not conjecture, it's not rumor, it's not suspicion. It was written on a piece of paper. Yeah. If someone had to say, this doesn't matter.
Yeah, and Mara Healy,
violent
and
gun
again,
charge.
And again, typically, which is sadly what is so often happening with Mara Healy, she, if you recall, not too long ago, she quoted in the paper that we do complete thorough background checks.
Right, about this guy.
So if you do... Yeah, right. If you do, which is what you claimed, then what does that say about you as a leader who's supposed to be, you know, running the state government? That you did a complete thorough background check and that said in your judgment that it's okay? Maybe she could explain that to us.
Tom, we have... again, we're working off of Tim Dunn's article in the Boston Herald today. Cook's criminal history was known. Tim Dunn, great journalist at the Boston Herald, FOIA'd his records. The guy who had been arrested for bringing cocaine into the state house, the Western State House, the Springfield State Building. Tom, the delivery he got was pounds and pounds of cocaine. It still had the brand of the cartel on it, stamped on it.
Yeah, okay? And Chris, he came in 2023, right? That's when he started?
Yes.
So we're looking at, what, 2 years, 2.5 years that he's been there? I don't know exactly the date he started. But the point being, do you think that that just suddenly happened between 23 and 25?
It did not.
Of course not.
It did not. And before this, he was at a state-owned hotel on the UMass campus in Amherst. And there was an alleged cocaine delivery there as well. What I'm saying, what I'm suggesting, Tom, and I think Tim Dunn will get to the bottom of it. This state house appears to be integral to the smuggling operation, right? Who placed him in that building? Who had the horsepower to get the governor and the lieutenant governor and her staff to take a pass on the fact that he had a shooting charge on his criminal record, to put him into that job, to allow him to accept pounds and pounds of cocaine, knowing that it was going to a state house building and maybe security was less?
Well, if I recall correctly, I believe it was a state representative. It might have been out of Worcester.
Out of Springfield.
Or Springfield, that recommended...
Bud Williams.
Yeah.
We are told is a state representative who recommended.
I don't recall the name, but I believe I read something that said that a state representative had recommended this individual. Now, what that state representative, what his relationship was with the Healy administration, and what he knew in the past, if he knew that this person had a history, from my perspective, that would have been at least at a minimum an obligation to tell the Healy administration that, in fact, the guy had a background. If he didn't know that, I guess that'll be worn out.
We have a problem here because there's been no other... I've never seen a story like this in all the years I've been paying attention anywhere in the country where you have such a high-level staffer, no pun intended, smuggling... being alleged to have smuggled cocaine. I mean, this guy signed for delivery of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very unusual case. And I think it is probably because in most places, when they do the background checks, somebody like that would not have been considered to be hired. That's probably why you haven't seen this kind of a story in the past.
Listen to this, guys. This is Tim Dunn's article. Cook was arrested in 2001 in connection with a shooting in Springfield where he and another man allegedly got out of a car and began firing at people on a nearby porch. He was charged along with two others with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, discharging a handgun within 500 feet of a dwelling, and unlicensed possession of a firearm. And that guy was accompanying your nominee for the presidency, Kamala Harris, around the state of Massachusetts. There are pictures with Kamala Harris and Mr. Cook appearing in Massachusetts. I mean, does Maura Healey have no shame?
Well, yeah. And I'm wondering what Kamala Harris thinks about the fact that, you know, they had some individual that was with that kind of a history escorting her around. It'd be interesting to know that. But the other thing that would be interesting to know is the circumstances around what led to that shooting. Was it a drug-related situation where, you know, they're firing at some group on a porch, which wouldn't be uncommon in drug wars.
Okay. Right? Tom, by the way, before he was a sheriff, was a detective.
Yeah. So it would not be uncommon to have that kind of a situation happen over drugs.
Drug territory.
I don't know it to be true.
Right.
I don't know what the circumstances were, but it would be interesting because if you looked into that when you're doing the background, that would be another red flag. Hey, if this was a drug-related thing, is this guy still... And then I don't know what they do at the state house as far as drug testing goes. We do. We do it, of course, at the prison.
You won't. You used to do it.
We used to. Yeah, where we would do screening, drug screening. And so whether they would do that for such a high-level position or not, I don't know. But certainly would be something at such a high level you might want to consider.
I mean, isn't it proper to maybe consider impeaching the governor? I mean, this is a major breach in trust. Yeah. If I was a senator or a representative, I'm not sure how we do it at the Commonwealth level. I'm really not sure. Or censure something. I mean, this is if I was a Democrat, I would be so horrified. How in November, if you're a state representative or you're running for district attorney, a sheriff, how do you stand with Maura Healey?
Well, yeah, and I think anybody that's been looking into the whole immigration front with all the illegals and, you know, the constant misrepresentations after she gets caught doing something.
Right.
Is a consistent pattern with her. You talked about trust, you know, a breach of trust. What about the breach of trust with everything she's done around the illegal immigration issue?
Right.
And the hotel stuff that, you know, was, well, we know this is what it really is, and then suddenly behind the scenes something else is going on. They're building another one over here, but they're not telling you about it. I mean, this is when you are in a position of governor and you're playing those kinds of games around your agenda being pushed through a political filter. This is what happens in the end.
Right.
It all comes out, and you're trying to correct things that you were saying politically to make it seem like it wasn't really what it actually is.
We have Tom Hodgson here. You can reach us at 508-996. So if you're kind of open phones, if it's on your mind, you want to talk to Tom, you always can talk to me. This is outrageous, the governor. And again, we thank Tim Dunn and the great journalists at the Boston Herald for foiring this information. Because otherwise they wouldn't have been forthcoming with it whatsoever. Think about it now. It's been a long time since this raid went down at the Western State House in Springfield. And now, only now, we're finding out. Shouldn't Maura Healey have gotten this out right away?
Well, if you were somebody that was really interested in just laying out the facts, if you make a mistake, let's say you made a mistake.
Right.
There's nothing wrong.
Mistakes happen.
Understand that.
There's no doubt about it.
But that's not her modus operandi normally. She tends to hide those things that she otherwise shouldn't have maybe done through political aspirations.
Tom, it's that magical time of the year here on the South Coast when your car won't start, when your wallet's empty, and that somebody special on your list has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap in Westport has your back. They're paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It really doesn't matter. They'll tow it for free, get it out of your sight, and you'll get the cash you need for more Christmas gifts, right? That means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog. Mid-City Scrap. Go by there today. Give them a call. They're right on State Road, 548 State Road in Westport. Or give them a call. Mid-City Scrap. Turning junk cars into cash all winter long. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
This funky bar, and I stepped outside to smoke myself a J. And when I come back to the room, everybody just seemed to move, and I turned my amp up loud and I began to play. And it was late in the evening.
You've been there, Sheriff. You know what he's talking about. 508-996-0500. Everybody in the room starts to move, right? Tom, you we're out with your candidate for governor, Mike Minogue. He's been here. Great candidate. Had a big event down the Cape. How was that?
It was excellent. I mean, the fact they had to find extra chairs. It was probably a good at least 200, maybe 220, 30 people there.
Really?
It was really, all the different groups from around the Cape had come, and he spoke for quite a bit, and then he took questions, as he always does, and the enthusiasm in the room was amazing, you know. And I think it has a lot to do with he's the kind of candidate that has, you know, the real experience in the mm-hmm. business world. You know, as a CEO, you understand how to run a big operation.
Right.
This is a national company he ran, and so that when you talk about running a state house. Unlike Mara Healy, what we just finished talking about on the
right,
that's the kind of thing that wouldn't happen in a Mike Minogue governorship. And so it was really great to hear him reiterate the points about I'm all about education. He and his wife have a big foundation for kids.
He's a West Point graduate.
He's a West Point grad, Bronze Star recipient,
yep.
From his time as lieutenant in charge of the Army Ranger platoon in Desert Storm, and somebody who, you know, they developed that heart pump,
right.
The size of the point of a pencil that now allows people to have that inserted through a catheter as opposed to having your chest cut open.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's being used all over the world. So this is a man who for over 19 years built the company. It was an instant success, and today he's a billionaire. And that's what I think the people of Massachusetts would like from a governor to be able to reclaim that and sort of reinvent that for Massachusetts so that we can all say we got a great business here in the right. way of how government's working.
When he was sitting, we're talking about Mike Minogue was running for governor, seeking the Republican nomination. He'll be on the ballot in September. When he was sitting here with us, Tom, and we started talking about the private economy and how we're last in the nation in the creation of private sector jobs. And he was explaining why that is so detrimental across the board.
Oh, absolutely. And we have so many people leaving Massachusetts now. Right. So many companies are leaving. We just saw the front page of the Herald today. The people from New Hampshire came down and said thank you.
Yes.
Right at the State House because the businesses are coming to New Hampshire. You know, we can't continue to go on like this. We're last in so many different arenas. And the people of Massachusetts deserve better than that. I don't care what your party affiliation is. If you're going to take on the position of the governor, you owe it to run it like a business, like a CEO.
Right.
And unfortunately, we haven't seen that. We've seen the complete opposite from Mara Healy.
The other night, you were also at Jesse St. Gelais' party up at the Wamsutta Club. You and Joanne, your wife, was on the Republican State Committee and doing a fantastic job there.
Yes,
how was that?
Is. It was great. He had a really nice crowd. And Taylor Cormier sang.
He's so great, isn't he?
Oh, he was amazing. I told him, I said, wow, you know, Frank Sinatra would be real proud of you.
You want to do a party, a really classy party. I don't care what the occasion. Hiring Taylor Cormier to do the singing is amazing,
oh,
right?
Yeah. He's
what a great addition to a party.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. And people really enjoyed it. And it was...
You can track him down on Facebook, online, or call him at the Howie Carr Show. Taylor Cormier singing amazing.
Yeah, he really is great. He's awesome.
The crowd... Here's the thing that really was interesting to me. Jesse St. Gelais and, of course, Sean Oliver from the New Bedford City Council. Those guys are a unit now. They drew down people, state reps, elected state reps from all over the state, including Worcester, Plymouth County. A lot of guys were in New Bedford last night, the other night, for Jesse Sanchez.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, the state committeeman out of Attleboro, and people came from all around to support him. So I think, you know, he's worked hard in his first go at it. But yes. I think this, you know, like anything else in life, you get better at what you do and
right.
you learn.
You
and
do.
So I think he's got a promising future, and so does the district if he's fortunate enough to win.
It's now is the political season, political parties. Soon there'll be the convention. People are going to have the Republican convention, have the opportunity to make a selection for one of the three gentlemen who are in the race right now, Brian Shortsleeve, Mike Minogue, and Mike Keneally. All three of them have sat in this studio, giving you the opportunity to ask them questions. We'll get them all back again. People can be a delegate to the convention by attending the caucuses, putting their name in, and getting all they have to be is, quite frankly, a registered Republican, right, Tom?
That's correct. And so we encourage people to do that. And honestly, it's a real great opportunity to be a part of something that you can say you helped form a better Massachusetts by being involved. And being there at the convention with so many people, it's usually in Worcester or somewhere around there. I'm not sure exactly where the location is going to be, but it's a day to really feel excited and feel that you're doing something good, not just for Massachusetts, but for your family and for your neighbors.
Tom, I was telling my audience and playing a little bit from the robot at the New Bedford Light. They employ a fantastic robot over there to read stories by Colin Hogan and other people that he has an interview and a story, Colin Hogan does, with Andrew O'Leary, the Bobby Sands of New Bedford. He's the superintendent of schools from Ireland. He's concerned about the immigrants that aren't here anymore, the illegal immigrant children that aren't in his public schools anymore. And he's wondering if that's because of the Trump administration policies, the success of them. What say you, Tom?
Well, I would see it through a different lens. If they're not there because of the immigration issue, it's because Joe Biden put them and encouraged them to come here, their families, in violation of the law, and to blame the current administration who's doing, if they don't like the laws, change them.
Right.
But in the meantime, you know, we can't blame the Trump administration for upholding the rule of law. You're saying the consequences that are coming because you have an administration who's committed to upholding the existing laws that somehow it's their fault that people are kind of hiding or doing whatever because they know they shouldn't have done what they did.
Right.
Right. And that the law will be enforced now. And if they want to blame anybody, they ought to be blaming Joe Biden for encouraging them to come here.
And Mara Healey for subsidizing
them. Oh, absolutely.
The legislature for subsidizing them. And quite frankly, the legislature for funding their legal defense. All the taxpayers of Massachusetts ought to be angry with the fact that we are literally paying for the lawyers of illegal aliens.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I can go back. I can't tell you how many times I testified at the State House against the driver's license for illegals bills, the sanctuary city policies that were going on across the state. That this was basically an outward attempt on the part of the legislature and people in public office who were supposed to be upholding and enforcing the law, sending messages that, look, if you do violate the law, we'll do everything we can to protect you so that ICE can't find you.
Right.
Right. And so how are you helping anybody? You're setting those same people up by basically a wink and a nod and suggesting that, hey, listen, don't worry. We think it's okay.
Right.
And so when you send that message, yeah, people are going to come.
People who are encouraging them to come in, they just want to undercut American workers so they can work these people harder and pay them less in more dangerous conditions. That's really what's going on, Tom.
Yeah, they're setting up people to do that. Yeah. And
permanent underclass.
And right, and they know that. And so if you know that as an elected official, and you know the laws were intended to prevent that from happening, why would you say, let's give them driver's licenses, let's continue sending them messages that we really don't care if you violate the law.
Right.
Come on in. And that's what's happened.
Tom, we had good news. We got people on hold. If you want to call, you can. I'd love to have you in the conversation. Andrew Wolf, National Guardsman from West Virginia, was on duty in the Capitol, was attacked by a foreigner with a firearm. A foreigner with a firearm committed an act of terrorism. He was up and walking around, the president announced the other day. I've had my audience praying for him. I know people all across the country have been praying for Andrew Wolf. He's made a miraculous recovery.
Yeah, it's so great. And I think the prayers from all of America have really helped in that regard. And in some ways, as sad as it is to see these things, sometimes he becomes sort of the reason why people need to get back to prayer.
Right.
And to realize that we're about one another and we have to protect one another.
And doesn't it just once again prove that God selected Donald Trump to be the president? We saw him save his life from a sniper's bullet in Pennsylvania.
Right. I believe that President Trump was chosen in that regard. No
and Andrew Wolf is now walking.
Yeah, it's
in
amazing.
Part to,
it's wonderful.
So God can have a living example of why Donald Trump is the greatest president ever in the world, ever, ever, ever. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. We have Tom Hodgson here. We got people on hold as well. Stick around.
Dartmouth.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
That's why she says, oh, God, over and over again. Mrs. Robinson. 508-996-0500. We're enjoying Tom Hodgson's company here on a Friday morning. Beautiful Friday morning. People on hold. Tom, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Tom, I appreciate you coming in. I enjoy you and Chris for Fridays. Keep doing it. I enjoy it. But Andrew O'Leary, I mean, this guy's he's all worried about the public schools in New Bedford. In our public schools, we have 13,000 students, and of those, 51% of those students are either illegal aliens or children of illegal aliens. It's costing the city of New Bedford $268 million for all of these illegal aliens. And this past Sunday, on Town Square Sunday, I listened, it was December 7th, as a matter of fact, with Jim Phillips. His guest was Elena Hughes. She's president of the Immigrant Assistance Center. And she was talking about the students and the illegal aliens. And she said, she told Jim Phillips, her office is getting about 7 to 8 calls a week on average of illegal aliens who are afraid that they're going to get a knock on the door by ICE agents and that they will be deported. She went on to say that a majority of the children in the United States with parents that have no legal status. And she says that there's 35 sessions that they're having with illegal aliens about this whole thing about deportation and their children, and they're having them in schools, churches, and media, educating illegal aliens on emergency preparedness programs. So, this is going on. That she doesn't want the state to take over the children of the parents. So she's arranging that these illegal alien parents find preferably U.S. citizens to fill out forms for caregivers so they can stay here in the U.S.
Yeah,
I want your take on that, Tom.
Isn't that breaking up families?
Yeah, you know, what the caller makes a great point. And I think, look, we all feel for these children because their parents brought them here,
right?
They didn't come on their own. But those same parents, they made that bad decision. they now need to make the responsible decision and take them back home.
I think genetics is important. If your parents are criminals, you'll probably be a criminal. Yeah.
And one more thing, if I could interject, too, as far as Elena Hughes. She went on to say this horrific stories about these 12 to 13-year-olds who were being abused and their parents were being killed by cartels and coyotes, and they're unaccompanied by their parents. And some of them, they're giving them special juvenile visas so they can stay here and go to school and programs because they need counseling and all that. So she's aiding and abetting cartels from abusing children and bringing them here. This is just, it's incredible. Yeah. I just want you to talk about that, Tom. Tell us about this stuff that's going on. It's incredible.
I think you start with the center that the caller is referring to, the Immigrants Assistance Center, is not the illegal Immigrants Assistance Center. It's the Immigrants Assistance Center to help immigrants who have come here legally to get acclimated and assimilate successfully.
You're saying they're sort of off what their original purpose was.
Correct. And the other part of this is he just made a great point about these kids who have come here and are in foster care homes who have never, ever been really tracked, many of them. So they can be in homes where they're being abused here, mm-hmm. and there's no way to track and understand it because they were just allowed to come in and pushed into foster care.
Right.
And so the reason we are talking about all these things and have all these problems is because the Biden administration refused to follow the law.
Right.
And that we have these activist groups out there who were saying the law doesn't matter, and you need to take care of these kids who are coming in here and these families coming in here illegally,
right,
in violation of the law. There are those who are continuing, as you know, Chris, thousands and thousands of people around the world were still waiting their turn,
yes,
respecting the laws of the United States. And so the message to them is, hey, listen, you're fools for doing that.
Right.
Just go in illegally and violate the law. So you're basically telling people who want to respect the laws, don't bother doing that. That's not what America's about. And nor should it be.
Tom, I say if there are children, they should stay together. Remember dividing the families, you know, breaking up families? Remember when the Democrats were crying about that? Well, let's keep the families intact and ship them back.
Right. And the Trump administration is offering to give, I think, $1,000 per family.
And a plane ticket.
And a plane ticket.
I think it's first class.
To go back to where they came from. And they come reapply if they want to come in legally.
Tom, they're actually going to give them the headphones so they can watch the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Free. You get the free movie headphones and everything. You might even get first class.
Yeah.
Back to them. Look, I flew in a C-130 propeller plane to the Panama Canal a couple times. That's a long flight.
That is a long flight.
And in a C-130, there's no heat.
Yeah.
There's no stewardesses, nothing. No, really loud. They're going to get better than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole point is that, and again, I know all of us, we feel for these kids who really are victims, not just of what their families did by coming in illegally knowingly, but also victims of the Biden administration and these activist groups and even legislators who've been encouraging people to come here illegally and say,
right,
not only are we going to encourage you to come, but we're going to provide ways to make you...
A hotel.
Right.
It became meals? Like Sandals, Massachusetts. Whatever food you wanted, whatever drinks you wanted, and you could stay in the hotel for free.
Wouldn't it be nice if the people who were elected in this country to represent the people in their communities did that for the poor children of America?
Right.
You know, for the poor families of America. You got money to give hotels, places to stay, get these people off the streets? Then that's where you start.
Right.
That's where you start.
Well, that's how the program started. And then these activists saw it as a way to bring more illegal aliens here. Again, this was not done by accident. It was a plan by the Democrats. Remember, Massachusetts only elects Democrats to federal office. Usually elects Democrat presidents. So the Electoral College votes go to the Democrats. The members of the House belong to the Democrat Party. So if they could flood the country with more illegal aliens and push them into Massachusetts, where they were subsidized to stay and get them counted in the census, it might create another federal position in Congress for a Democrat out of Massachusetts, and then give them another Electoral College vote that would have gone to the Democrat Party. None of this was done by accident.
And how many of these, it'd be interesting to get a percentage of the number of Democrats in Congress who have either adopted legal immigrant families, you know, and or supported them in some way. If you felt people were in need, then in these countries, then pass legislation to offer money. If you think it's legitimate, but
right.
If it's really for your personal benefit, like you just said,
right.
To get more votes, to make sure that you can
control. I mean, these are smart people. Mara Haley's not a dummy. John Mitchell's not a dummy. They know that when they put government money into a program, whatever you subsidize, you get more of.
Yeah.
You subsidize illegal aliens, you're going to get more of them.
Point.
And illegal aliens get counted on the census.
Yeah.
This didn't happen by accident. Tom, your removal from office by outside forces was part of a bigger plan to then open the floodgates. They needed Tom Hodgson no longer as a law enforcement elected official before they could flood Massachusetts.
Yeah, and we had the largest immigration detention facility, one of the largest in
right.
the country, and never failed an audit. We were, you know, we were doing the things that these activists didn't want done, and that's why you had Markey, AOC, all the rest of them, Elizabeth Warren. They all jumped in on us with the ICE detention thing,
right?
With no knowledge. Never
Representative Kennedy, you humiliated that.
Well, I was very direct with him when he called me.
He had to run off to Ireland.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have no problem with criticism.
Yeah.
But you don't come in and just start making political statements without never even picking up the phone to call me and say, what happened?
Right.
You know, what exactly is going on? No facts. They didn't want those facts. You know why? It didn't fit their narrative. They wanted that place shut down.
Right.
And we've got the documents. They're going to come out pretty soon. But those documents show a month before that situation even happened, ACLU to Mara Healy to
emails.
DHS, back and forth.
Emails you're talking about.
Yes.
Email communications.
Yep.
Right.
And then there's additional things that are going to finally be released that weren't allowed to be released because Mayorkas and Healy didn't want them released from the federal government down in Washington that are going to give the real story that my staff rightfully deserve. They did a phenomenal job. And unfortunately, politics, as usual, took over.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back more with Tom Hodgson here on this beautiful Friday morning. Stick around.
Shipping seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw.
Welcome back to the program. Little Simon and Garfunkel for you on this Friday morning. We have Tom Hodgson here in the studio as always. So, Tom, we're going to be coming into the debate season pretty soon. I think the three Republicans will mix it up pretty good, don't you?
I do, and they're all great people.
Yes.
You know, it'll be very interesting to watch. Obviously,
does New Bedford deserve a debate between the three Republicans?
I'd like to see that.
Yeah,
I would, down the South Coast.
Yeah.
And or at least in the region here.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think that would be really good. We know that New Bedford and this whole area in Bristol have become more and more conservative.
Yes.
With regards to their feelings about, you know, policies and things.
And the votes are in play.
Yes, absolutely. No question about it. We have a lot of candidates running.
The old days of just voting for whoever the Democrats put up, that is not the days anymore here, Greater New Bedford.
No, and I think people have realized it, and I think it's going to be a great election year.
So, well, folks, listen, I want you to have a great weekend. Remember, Barry Richard is coming up next. Barry has Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. You want to hear all about his Freedom of Information Act, what he's doing over there at the Boston Herald. Great story. That'll be in the 1 o'clock hour. I'm going to be out of here, and then, God willing, I'll be back on Monday. Hope you have a lovely weekend. Be safe. Don't be too safe. Watch out for those roadblocks and those pullover spots, right, where they flag you over here. Holiday weekends. I guess we're coming into a holiday weekend, so we'll, it's not too soon to say it. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. And as I said, Barry Richards coming up next. After Barry, of course, is Howie Carr. Great weekend program. Jose Matos will be here. I'm going to have Jose in next week, maybe the week after that, to explain the new Trump accounts. So make sure you...